God has not created you and me to merely exist or to merely get by, to barely get by. God who created us that you would live a life full and free in the person of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me very carefully at the very outset. Don't you dare think for one moment that this is health, wealth, prosperity preaching. Listen, you are nothing, we have nothing, there is nothing we can ever be apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Everything that you'll ever be is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. But when you look through the pages of Scripture, and especially you come to this passage of Scripture in Psalms chapter 92, I want you to listen to what the psalmist says, talking about the righteous person. And last Sunday and this Sunday, we're dealing with God's plan for staying young and fruitful. The Bible says these words, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in," say the next two words with me, "old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him." Listen, whenever you read this passage of Scripture, there is one reality about the Lord God whenever it comes to your life, and it's this. There is not a single one he wants to stop enjoying this one God-given life that he's given. As a matter of fact, here's what he said. He said, whenever you get to be old, you're still going to be fruitful. Someone came to me last week and they said, you know what? The Bible says it's okay for me to be fat. He said, it'll be fat and flourishing. Well, the Bible makes it very clear that God has a divine plan for you to stay young and fruitful. Now, you say, Pastor, are you saying that I can stop the aging process? I'm not saying that. Because the Bible makes it very clear that someday we're going to walk out of this life, we're going to walk out of this body, and we're going to get the privilege of being with the Lord God for all of eternity. Think about that wonderful day in which it happens in your life. But whenever you look at Scripture and you ever look at the men in the Bible, here's one thing you find out. They may have aged outwardly, but there is something about their walk. They did not age inwardly. And I can tell you this, the people that I'm around that are godly men and that are godly women, listen, the issue of age has no bearing on them. I've had the privilege to listen to godly men who are in their 70s and 80s and 90s, and the issue of age isn't really a factor. They know they can't do what they used to do, but there's a vivaciousness about them. There is something about them on the inside, and that thing that's about them on the inside is their walk with the living God. So let me ask you again the question. Would you characterize your life as one that is young and that's fruitful? Now, remember last week I shared with you there were five things that you and I need to keep doing. Now, some of you aren't doing these at all, and you find out that's why you're in the aging process. You're looking older, and you're looking feeling older, and you say, I just can barely get around, and you're not past your 30s yet. Listen, when you implement these into your life, you'll be amazed what they will do. And last week I shared with you, keep thanking. You know, a lot of people have stopped thanking God, but keep thanking. On your way to work, wherever you go, keep thanking God for his abundance, his goodness. Keep singing. I don't know if you have stopped singing. Some of you say, well, I don't sing good, but I shared with you last week that we don't have to necessarily sing good. God's not listening to how musically talented you are, but some of you have lost your song. Somebody has hurt you somewhere along the way. And then I shared with you about keep remembering. Remembering the good things of God. Listen, you may have bills to pay. You may look at some of the negative things of life, but look at the things that you have because of the Lord God. Look at who you are because of Jesus Christ. Keep learning. You know, sometimes people stop learning. Said, you know what? I'm beyond learning. No, you're not. Listen, one of the greatest coaches that ever coached the game of basketball, John Wooden, one of the things he would say, he said, I would take a course every summer so I could help my students better. Here he was, 70, 80 years of age and enrolled so that he could take a course. He never stopped learning. And then keep loving. You know, if there's one thing that God wants you and me to do, is to continue loving. You say, well, some people aren't very lovable. I know that. Listen, and God even knows that. God does never tell you to love somebody because they're worth loving. God tells you and gives you and me a command. You and I have been loved by the Lord God. We are loved by the Lord God. You'll never stop being loved by the Lord God. And so you have the power to love anybody, everybody. It doesn't matter who they are. Well, this morning I want to deal with five more that you and I need to keep doing if we're going to stay young and fruitful. Now, there's a lot of individuals saved by the grace of God, but you're not bearing any fruit. You're here this morning, you're saved by the grace of God, and there's no fruit about your life, because as you look over these, somewhere along the way you've stopped some of these, maybe many of these, maybe even all of these, and you're wondering why life is just barely a mere existence. Well, look at the first one. You know, the psalmist, if there was anybody that obeyed the living God, David the king obeyed the Lord God. If there's one thing you and I need to keep remembering, it's to keep obeying. By the way, I went back through Genesis through Deuteronomy and the first five books that Moses wrote. And one who was talking about how young he was whenever he got ready to meet the Lord, he was constantly talking about obedience to the Lord God. If there is one word that we don't like to hear, it is the word obey. You know, we don't like to hear it when we're kids. You know, well, we have to obey mom and dad. We have to obey this person and have to obey, you know, teachers in school. And we have to obey, you know, guardians, whatever it may be. But I want you to listen to this verse of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2. And God declares this truth when you and I obey. He says this. After he says verse 1, he talks about if you'll keep all the law that I tell you to do this day, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You know what God is really saying? He said, if you make it a big business in your everyday life to obey me in every avenue, you will be amazed at what obedience does for you physically. You'll be amazed what it does for you emotionally. You'll be amazed what it does for you psychologically. And you'll be amazed what it does for you spiritually. You see, some people say, well, you know what, I don't know about all this obedience stuff. I don't know about doing this and doing that. Do you want to live the life God wanted you to live? Listen, do you think God wants you to shortchange your life? Do you think God wants your life to be cut short? You know, one of the realities, just as sure as I'm standing here and as I'm preaching, here's what I know. Some of you are not going to live out the years God intended for you to live. You say, why? Because you know in some area of your life that there's disobedience and it can be devastating. And you know, you think about this. You obey God in your finances, God will bless your finances. You obey God in your body, God will bless your body. You say, well, I just don't know that. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe the living God who created everything that was, is, and ever will be, do you think he can possibly tell a lie? And you see, you know what we do? We want to cop out because we don't want to obey. We don't want to obey God with our body. You know, we want to abuse these bodies. We want to do things with these bodies that we shouldn't do. We want to be excessive, maybe an appetite. We want to be excessive because, you know, after all, you know, food is good. And I know food's good. I love food. And I'm so glad that some of our food is gone because it was so luscious. You know, some of those candies and some of those cakes and some of those pies. And I told Charlotte the other day, I said, I just remembered you still got a pecan pie in the refrigerator. And thank goodness that it evaporated. You know, that it finally got out of there. Listen, here's the reality that God says to you and to your life. If you will obey the living God, all these blessings will come upon you. Now, I want you to be serious and I want you to be honest with yourself. Do you really think for 1 minute God can lie? But you know what we do? We almost act as though he can because we don't do it. We don't incorporate his guidelines into our life. We don't obey God with our tithe. You know why you don't obey God with your tithe? It's real simple. You just don't believe him. You say, well, I don't want to say that. Isn't it amazing? If you go down to the bank and you say, you know, they say, you know what? We're going to give you, you know, we're going to give you 50% on your money that you put in. You'd take as much as you could so you could get the return. But here's what we do. We just don't keep obeying God. And here's what God said, I'll bless you, I'll bless your children, I'll bless everything you put your hand to if you make obedience to God a serious matter in your life. As a matter of fact, he said all these blessings would come upon you. Now I want you to turn back to Deuteronomy for just a moment. Turn back to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. I want you to look at it. God is telling through Moses an entire nation what will happen to them if they obey God. Friend, God has not changed 6,000 years ago to right now. He is the same God. His principles still work. Listen to what he says. All these blessings shall come upon you, verse 1, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Watch what it says in verse 2. And all these what? Would you like to know what the word blessing means? The word blessing, literally translated, means this: the supernatural favors of God. Why is it that a person at the age of 120, Moses, he died, you know, vim, vigor, vitality, had the strength of a young man? Because God supernaturally blessed his life. Because when he woke up in the morning, obedience was a big deal. When he went to bed at night, obedience was a big deal. Whether it be a friend of his or somebody that's not a friend of his, obedience was a big deal. You see, there are times in your life that you're going to be challenged to compromise because it's a friend of yours. It's a buddy of yours. It's somebody close. After all, you know, you still believe that, and you're going to be challenged. Listen, you live your life with uncompromised obedience, and there will be something that God does in your life, your mind, your body. Why? Because that is his promise. Listen to me very carefully. Can God Almighty ever lie? The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. And these principles always, under all circumstances, hold up and hold true. And you see, you know, the Bible makes it very clear. And he promises his blessings. And the one mark of a righteous man, you know, the Bible says they're like a tree. They're like a tree that's planted. In other words, you know, that palm that's 90 feet or that cedar of Lebanon. They walk the walk of obedience. Now, I'm not just saying a church member. You say, well, I'm a church member. I go to church. Why am I not blessed? It's a different thing just to be a church member and to be bent on obedience to God. Let me give you an example. If obedience to God was a big issue to you, you'd be to say, God, where do you want me to serve? But you know what? And I'm going to be real acidly honest. Some of you will never ask God where you want me to serve. Some of you will never ask the living God, where can I serve in the Lord's church? Why? Because you don't want to. You want to come, you want to sit down, you want to do your thing, you want to go out, and that's what's important to you. And listen to me very carefully. God never can, never has, never will bless that lifestyle that violates who he is. And you see, whenever you say, you know, I look at people and I think, man, that person seems to always be young. You know why they're always young? They keep obeying, they keep serving, they keep giving, and yes, they get exhausted, but you know what? There is the touch of God upon their life. And reality is, you've got to ask yourself, am I big on obedience? You're going to live and you're going to die someday and stand in the presence of the Lord God. You may not want to answer the question, but somewhere along the way, you're going to have to answer the question, and you will answer it in the presence of the Lord. So when you're big on obedience, he says, all these blessings, your children will be blessed. You know what happens as you obey the living God? Your kids look at you and say, you know what? That life works. That is the life and the lifestyle that works. And that's exactly what happens. Second of all, not only keep obeying, but keep laughing. Now, you know, you don't usually think of laughter as a spiritual disposition. But think about this for a moment. The Bible says that the children loved to come to Jesus. You know, there was something about Jesus that always drew the children unto him. Now, let me ask you this question. Now, think about it a minute. From the vantage point of the creator of the universe, do you know that he wants you to laugh? Look in the mirror in the morning and we may as well laugh. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I mean, you think, that was what I looked like at 20 and this is what I look like now? And think of what you're going to look like at the age of whatever, fill in the blank. And so listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 17:22. God makes it clear in his word. A merry heart does good like what? Medicine. Do you realize from the vantage point of the creator of the universe? He says, laughter has the power of medicine. Now think about it. Would God, the creator of the universe, give you the capacity to laugh, the ability to laugh, enable you to laugh, and then tell you not to laugh? You know, I mean, there's just a lot of things in life, and someone said this some years ago, and he's really true. Some of the most unique and humorous things happen in church. I never will forget one time that is in another church in Williamsburg, and this young man was sitting in a pew, and he just happened to be looking down at his socks, and as he's looking down at his socks, it dawned on him that he had put his daughter's socks on, and he was wondering why they were hurting his leg. Well, someone else came in one time, and they looked down at their shoes, and they realized they put a brown shoe and a black shoe on. one time, and she's not in here, so I know you won't tell her. You're saying, oh, tell it, Pastor. My wife has a habit of telling on herself, and I said, honey, nobody will know. We was at a wedding one time, and she looked down at her shoes, and she said, I realize I'd put one of a kind on. And but you know what was worse about it? She went around telling everybody. She said, you know what? I've got two different shoes on. I said, sweetheart, nobody would know if you wouldn't tell them. And here she was. And listen, she's told it far more times than I have. And I know everyone will keep it a confidence. You won't say a word to her. But listen, the God who created us has given us the capacity to laugh. Now, let me ask you a question. How much do you like to be around sour people? I don't know about you, as a kid growing up, I'd look at people and you can tell those you like to hang around with. You're a little kid and you look up, and if they're sour, you don't want to be around them. You know, I mean, they look like they're just stuck up on life. And, you know, literally the word, you know, Mary in this passage of scripture in Proverbs is glad, joyful. In other words, you know, it's attractive. There is something attractive about a man or woman of God who has the ability to laugh. And think about it, you may as well laugh at yourself. And there is something about that person who has the security that he can laugh at his own shortcomings and she can laugh. Listen, God doesn't want you to exist. God did not create you to exist. He gave his son's life's blood so that you could be saved and know where you're going and know that at the end of this life you're going to heaven. But listen, he didn't create you to exist for the years that you're on this earth. And sadly, there are so many people that are. They're just existing. There's no gladness in them. There's no youth. There's no vitality. And they're not fruitful. You know, and the creator of the universe gives you a mouth to laugh, gives you the ability to laugh, and he says to laugh. Now, I'm not saying laughing at the serious things of God. God forbid that. You don't laugh at the serious things. But you know, there's a lot of things in life, and you can think about your own life, that you just can't help but laugh. So he says, you know, the scripture makes it clear, not only keep obeying, but keep laughing. And then third, keep leaving. If there's one thing that causes many people to age prematurely and become fruitless, it's this simple reality. They keep picking up their sins from yesterday and they keep reliving them over and over and over and over again. You may be one of them. You say, well, you know what? You don't have any idea what I've done in my past, Pastor. There's no reason I need to know. You see, there's a lot of people who suffer mentally, they suffer emotionally. You know why? Because they cannot leave their past. And sometimes we are very good at remembering other people's past. Now I want to give you a word of caution. I want everyone who is saved by the grace of God, I want you to listen to me real carefully. When you start talking about somebody else's sin of the past, you remember this. How do you know but what they have not been alone with holy God and they've cried over their sin that you're out publicizing, you're out promoting, you're on the phone with somebody and they've cried over God and they've cried to God and said, Father, please forgive me. And he's forgiven them. How dare we do that to them? As a matter of fact, the Bible says those of you that are spiritual, when you find somebody that's hurt themselves, you realize there's a lot of people who think their life's over. I talk to people all the time. They say, you know what? God will never forgive me of that. And they'll name it. They'll name some sexual sin. And they'll name some sin. And they've asked God to forgive them. And they've asked me, they said, you really believe God forgives me? Absolutely. Why? Because he keeps his word. Now listen, aren't you glad God forgives you of your sin and he deletes them, so to speak, from his divine programming in heaven? Aren't you glad of that? Amen. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to bring them up to us again, right? God forbid. He is faithful and just to what? To cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to forgive us and to cleanse us. Think about it. You go before the Father and you say, Father, I know I've said something, I've done something. I shouldn't have done it, I shouldn't have said it. Would you cleanse me? You'll never hear God say, no. You say, well, now, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, Pastor. I mean, what I've done is serious. Listen to me real carefully. Before you was ever born, God knew the absolute totality of the number of sins you would commit from birth to death. And he knows them by name. And he knows them by degree. And he knows them by number. You say, how do you know that? Because he's almighty, omnipotent, holy God. And you see, When we give our worries to the Lord and we take them up, back up, or we give our sins to the Lord and we take them back up, you know what you can't do? You can't enjoy life. Some of you are listening to this message and you're thinking about something that's happened in your life. And you're sitting there and you can't listen. It's not that you don't want to listen. You can't listen. You can't even have a good night's sleep because you're reliving, redreaming, rethinking that thing that's happened in your life. Now, let me ask you a question. If God wants you to relive everything, why does He give you verse after verse after verse after verse in the Bible reminding you and me to cast all of our cares on the Lord because He cares for us? Listen, you're not strong enough, powerful enough to live this life with all the problems you've had. You know what will eventually happen? You'll just wilt down. You'll end up like this. You'll end up on your knees and you're just barely making it through life. And you'll feel lower than a snail in a wagon track, so to speak. You know why? Because you say, I just can't live life. You know why you can't live life? Because have you learned to give it to God? It's amazing. Think about this. Think about living in the most attractive house that there is in Corbin. Think about having showers in every restroom, every bathroom, and living for 20 years in that beautiful house with dirt and filth and grungy, all because you never went to the shower and took a shower. You say, Pastor, that is horrible. That sounds terrible. That is foolish. But you know something even more foolish than that? That person who is saved by the grace of God and he don't go to God or she don't go to God and ask them to forgive them. Lord, I got involved in a sexual episode. This may be their situation when they was a teenager. Lord, I had an abortion at the age of 22 that only God in heaven knows about. Or this happened in my life that nobody under God's heaven knows. And you know what happens? You can't live. There is no way under God's heaven you can live. All because of the weight. There is power. There is deliverance. There is freedom. There is joy when you get alone with God and you say, Father, I'm not going to lie to you anymore, and I'm not going to dodge anymore. I'm going to cast everything at your feet. I'm going to give everything over to you. And you see, there's no way you can. Think about this. Here is Moses in the Old Testament, leading 2 million people. Can you imagine the problems he had? Can you imagine the difficulty, the situation, leading 2 million people? He learned to leave it daily, regularly with the Father. You see, God didn't save you to barely get by. I know some of you are barely getting by. You say, how do you know, Pastor? It's written in your eyes. The eyes are the window to your heart. You say, I've not said anything to you. Don't have to. It is amazing what your eyes communicate. It's amazing what a person's eyes reveal, whether they're sadness or gladness. Listen, when you confess your sin, when you say, Father, would you forgive me of this sexual reality, what I did between me and some other man or some other woman? Yes. Will you wash me and forgive me and cleanse me? Yes. Father, I even did it intentionally. I did it deliberately. I did it willfully. Will you still forgive me? Absolutely. You know why? I want you to listen to His promise. He is Almighty God. Amen? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us of all unrighteousness. Signed, Almighty God. And you see, that's His word. And so if you're living life and You've got 900 pounds of junk on you. No wonder you're not fruitful. No wonder you're aging prematurely. No wonder all these things are gravitating in your life. That's not the will of God. Number four, not only keep leaving, but keep longing. There's an interesting verse found in Psalms chapter 1. Turn back to Psalms chapter 1 for just a moment. And I'm going to read it out of the Living Bible, but you look at it out of your copy. The writer says in Psalm 92 that the righteous flourish. In other words, they have fruit in their old age. But listen to what the Living Bible, listen to what the Bible says. Now, reading out of the Living Bible in verse 2 of chapter 1. They delight in doing everything God wants them to, and day and night they're always meditating on His laws, thinking about ways to follow Him more closely. Now, I want to ask you a serious question. You claim you're saved by the grace of God, every one of you that are saved, that know Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you this question. Do you delight in doing what God tells you to do? Now, the Bible says they delight in doing everything God tells you to do. I'm going to get you, for the water meets the wheel. Do you delight honoring God with your tithe? Whenever the offering plate is passed, is it a joy? Do you almost want to run up to the offering plate and say, you know what, I want to put it in. I'm so tickled that God has given me the ability to give back to Him in worship. The Bible says that a righteous person that is fruitful, that person whose life is marked with holiness and distinction, and by the way, that person who has the ear of holy God. Listen, when crisis comes in your life, you want to have the ear of holy God. Amen? You don't want to. Listen, sometimes we think, well, you know what? Whenever we're in a crisis, God will always hear us. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, that He will not what? Hear us. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 68, if I regard iniquity. So keep longing. Listen, get the picture of what the Bible says. A righteous man thrives, or a righteous woman, day after day. They get up in the morning. And here's what a righteous husband does. Ben, I want you to listen to me. And some of your wives are saying, yes, pour it on him because he needs it. Be careful. You know what a righteous man does? He gets up each morning desiring to honor God in his marriage, how he can be a blessing to his wife. Some of you say, now, don't you dare go there. Listen, God put you together. God called you to be the man in the home. God called you to reflect Him. You've got to take it up with God. And, you know, He's put you in that marriage, and how can you be a blessing to your wife? You know what some of you are doing? And I'm not in your home, but some of you could care less how you treat your wives. As long as she gets your meals on the table, as long as she, you know, has everything, the dishes done, you know, clothes on your back, that is a sin before God. That is a sin in His sight. And sadly, so many things. Well, you know, and I can tell you this, some of you are going to die prematurely. You're going to die before your time. Why? Because, you know, God wants you to? No. But because it is a serious issue in the sight of God that you obey. A righteous woman, she gets up, she desires to be a blessing to her husband. She desires to help him, do him good, not harm. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, you think about how can God want for us anything less than His best? And part of it as you follow Him. You get up in the morning and think about this. Suppose your son or your daughter called you, parents, and said, Mom, what can I do for you today? Or Dad, your daughter's called you and said, Dad, what can I do? Is there anything I can help you with today? What would that do in your heart? You would be so turned and appreciative. You know what the Father is so appreciative? When you wake up in the morning and you put your feet out on the floor and you say, God, I want to please you today. I want to please you in the way that I act. You may be put in some precarious situations in your life. And you really don't know what to do. But your bottom line issue is, Lord, I want to act godly no matter what. You know what? He'll touch your life. And the Bible says He'll bless you. And the word blessing always means there the supernatural favor of God. Is it no wonder that people are having to go to hospitals? And I'm not saying you can't say this in every situation. But so many people are going to hospitals and on drugs and on medicines. And they're not asking, God, what do you say about my life? Let me ask you a question. Does God know best about your life over and above a human doctor? Sure He does. Does He know how to give you life better than a human doctor? Sure He does. Does He know how your life clicks and ticks? Sure He does. And so, you know, there's no greater sadness, though, than that person who says, well, you know what? It's no big deal to me. You don't wake up desiring to honor God. You don't wake up in the morning, what can I get from me? Let me tell you a sad reality in the world that we're living in Christianity all over the world. What's in it for me? I'll go to this church as long as I can get out when I want out. I want to go to this fellowship as long as it is satisfying to me. Listen to me very carefully. If Jesus Christ went to the cross for you, what should you give to Him? Do you think He said on the cross, this isn't very fun, chunk it. But you know what? We live in that day where we want what we want. And I'm just here to tell you, that is not a life that's pleasing to God, honoring to God. And you may exist, but I can promise you on the authority of God's word, you are not living. You ever find somebody don't care about being around you? You wonder as you get a little bit older, where are all your friends? Where are all the people that are around your life? Do you find that there are people that don't come around your life? Listen, the Bible makes it very clear in Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. Listen to it again. They delight in doing everything God wants them to do. Day and night, they're meditating on His laws, how to follow Him more closely, how to please Him. In the Old Testament, King David, he had come to the throne, and King Saul was his archenemy, hated him. But King Saul had died. Jonathan had died. And into that family was a man who was born by the name of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was crippled from a fall. But there was something that David said throughout his life. He could have killed all of Saul's line. Many kings did. But here's what David said. How is there anybody else that I can show kindness to in the house of Saul and the house of Jonathan? It was his heart's desire to show kindness. Let me ask you a question. Is it on your heart? When I meet somebody passing by their life today, is it my desire to impact their life for good and for God? Number four, keep longing. And then lastly, keep enjoying. In Paul's letter to Timothy, a lot of times we don't think about this one last phrase. But have you ever stopped to think that God Almighty has created you to enjoy everything richly? That's what he says in his word. I want you to turn over to the book of 1 Timothy for just a moment. 1 Timothy. And I want you to listen to what Timothy has to say. Paul is talking to Timothy. And 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 17, I want you to listen to it. Paul is knowing that he's not going to live much longer. Paul is an aging man by this time. He's getting ready to leave this world. But listen to what he says. In chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Listen to the next phrase. Trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to what? Enjoy. Now let me ask you a question. Have you come to realize that this life is designed by God for you to enjoy it? Enjoy your relationship with Him? Some of you don't enjoy coming to church because you think God's going to jump on you. You know what God wants to do? He wants to free you so you can enjoy. Some of you are afraid of Him, and He wants to free you of those fears. Listen, God didn't create you so you could be scared to death of Him. God created you so you could come to know Him as a loving Father, as a caring Father. And you see, Paul is getting ready to leave this world. He's an aging man. But he says, Timothy, never forget, as long as you live your life, that God gives you richly everything to enjoy. When you enter into a marriage, God wants you to enjoy that marriage. When you enter into a relationship with the Lord God, God wants you to enjoy Him. God wants you to talk to Him just like you'd talk to your best friend. Listen, God don't want you to try to memorize the King James language so you can pray. I can tell you this, when I first started praying, I was praying in the King James style. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, because I thought that was the only language God understood. I really did. As a boy, I'd pray King James style. No disrespect, but I went back 400 years and prayed in a language I didn't understand. Prayed in words that I don't use. But let me tell you something. It changes your life when you just say, God, You're so neat. You know everything about my life today, and You love every part of me. Now, I'm not saying He condones sin, God forbid. But what I'm saying is this. Most of the time, we're scared to death. We're living in fear. We're living in panic. Think about it a minute. Why would He save you unless He loved you? Nobody made him save you. Nobody made God love you. He chose to love you. And you see the reality it is. So many people are walking through life, but here's the way they're walking. They're not enjoying. They're not obeying. They're not laughing. They're not leaning, giving all their problems to the Lord. And they're not longing how to follow God more closely. Listen to me very carefully. You've got one lifetime. One. You don't come back and do it again. You don't get 1,000 years on this earth in this body. You get one lifetime. And as you live this lifetime, how do you live it? Do you live it being young in spirit and fruitful? Or do you live it just existing? I can tell you this, friend, if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, there is no living for you. I've talked to enough people, and here's what I know. You really don't know about each moment. Think about it. If you died without Jesus Christ, you'd spend eternity separated from God in a Christless hell. If you died this moment, that's where you would be. There's no joy in that. So many are preaching health, wealth, and prosperity. I want you to think about it a moment. Suppose you have $1 billion and you have the best houses in each part of the country. After about 80 years, 70, 80 years, you die. In 1,000 years, you're in torment by rejecting Jesus Christ. Tell me what living that is. There is no living. You're here this morning. There's some secret sins in your life. Nobody's ever known of them. They've been in your heart for a long time. And you're not living. He wants to free you of that. But you have to let him. You're here without Jesus Christ and you need to come. He has called to you. Unless you repent, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You say, I'm a pretty good person. Just answer me this one question. These are the people who get to go to heaven apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. Just tell me you're sinlessly perfect. None of us are. Why don't you come to him today? Father, we praise you. We thank you. We love you. For the fact that in your word you've given us your guide. For staying young and fruitful till death. Father, I pray for that person who's on the peripheral in his or her life. I pray for that person who is rejecting this word. I pray for that person who's heard it. Father, I pray that you would draw them this morning. Father, you created us. You love us more than all of mankind put together. And you have your plan that we could be all you purpose. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would etch your word so deep in our heart is our prayer. Father, I pray for that lost person that they would come. Give their life to Jesus this morning because there's no living by anybody apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Draw them, Father, we pray. In Jesus we ask. Amen.